Turn with me to Leviticus 9. Leviticus 9, verse 1, let us now hear the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go in unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering, and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron then therefore went unto the altar, and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled round about the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering, and offered it according to the same manner, according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering, and took an handful thereof, and burnt it upon the altar, beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. And he slew also the bullock, and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled upon the altar round about, and the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump and the kidneys that covereth the inwards, and that which covereth the inwards and the kidneys, and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. And the breasts and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offerings and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out, and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. We have this chapter split into three sections, verses 1 through 7. The command is given to Aaron and his sons and the elders of the people as to what they are to do on this day. In verses 8 through 21, we have the first offerings that Aaron made as in his official capacity as high priest. The first one was for himself, and the other ones were for the people. You'll notice that there was a sin and a burnt offering for Aaron. The other offerings were for the people. However, Aaron is comprehended in those offerings for the people in the peace offering and so forth. And then in verses 22 through 24, we have the divine approbation or approval of all that was done on that day. So let's start with the first section, Leviticus 1 through 7. Now, as we arrive in this chapter, we recognize that we're kind of coming in at the latter half of the story. Remember, last week we talked about the consecration of Aaron and his sons and how for 7 days they must dwell at the door of the tabernacle offering those offerings in order to be purified and consecrated for their service in the temple. Now, on this day, we have that finalized. We have the perfecting of the priesthood. In the redemption of Israel from Egypt, God had separated a people out for himself from all the nations of the earth as his particular people. At Sinai, the Lord gave his law unto them, and then they made a covenant with God, constituting them officially as the covenant people of God. In this chapter, going from the end of Exodus into Leviticus, we see the Lord giving them all of the priesthood, all of the tabernacle, all of its furniture, and telling them exactly how they were to approach him in those various things. Then in Leviticus chapter 1 through chapter 7, we have all of the services given there. And here, now, for the first time, we see them as officially a worshiping people under the economy of Moses. A lot of firsts. Everything was put into motion, the tabernacle, the furniture, the priesthood, and everything was done as we have seen over and over and over again according to the commandment of the Lord. Well, first off, certainly Moses was a good steward over his house. How much more so is our Lord Jesus Christ as son over the house? The second thing that we recognize is that all worship is by the command of God and must be followed according to the command of God. So Moses calls Aaron and his sons and the elders of the city to himself and gives them what they are to do on that day. The first thing that Aaron must do is he must offer a sacrifice for himself, a sin offering and a burnt offering. This is to remind Aaron that he too, with the rest of the covenanted people of God, is a sinful man. And he himself must look to someone else in order to have redemption, in order to have his sins forgiven. He himself had a personal interest in everything that was going on there. And Aaron was never to forget it. He was not the savior of his people. Hebrews brings this out in spades when he will say that the Levitical priesthood must first offer up for themselves a sacrifice for sin to show that this is not the final estate. There is something to look forward to. All these things are pointing away from themselves to something else, something greater. They were to see that imperfect and transitory nature of the Levitical system. We see that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18, that the Levitical priesthood, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof, was disannulled or set aside. Hebrews 7:27 teaches us the high priest witnessed to his own imperfections in that he must first offer for his own sins and then for the people's. Second, Aaron must offer a goat for a sin offering, burnt offering, peace offerings, and meat offerings on behalf of himself and all the children of Israel. We see that a sin offering is made for their individual guilt, as we have heard before. We see that there's a twofold burnt offering to show their dependence upon the atoning work of Christ and their dedication, the dedication of their whole being unto the Lord. We see the peace offering of the ram and the bullock is made to demonstrate that they have peace and reconciliation with God by the blood of another. And the meat offering mingled with oil was to show that their persons are consecrated to God and his service. It is mingled with the oil, as we heard in Leviticus chapter 2, to represent the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work in the hearts of the believer, thus allowing that to be presented before the Lord. Third, we see the great promise that is attached unto all this service, that the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Beloved, what better thing could you ask for? That God, as Andrew Benar would say, would appear unto us reconciled and gracious when we approach unto him through the work of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he will not withhold his glory from us, but the glory shines forth unto us in a small part in the preaching of the word, and then fully and finally in the age to come. The Holy One, which inhabits the praises of Israel, will not withhold his glory from those who gather to worship his name by faith in his Son. This, too, is a promise of the New Testament, which has been greatly enlarged and unveiled. We now have, under the ministration of the Spirit and this ministry, a far greater glory than that which the saints here witnessed. This same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, is the way Paul will put it in 2 Corinthians 4:6. When we approach the Lord by faith in the worship service, what you are doing here today is you are witnessing the glory of the Lord as we take hold upon him by faith in the preached word, in the ministration of the Spirit on your hearts. And that is what was promised to them in that day as well. Same God, same mediator. All right, so then as we go into Leviticus, the second section of Leviticus 9, which is 8 through 21, we see Aaron performing all that the Lord had commanded before the Lord and before the congregation. The people are gathered together and ready. They are to have an interest in and inspect the things that are going on, that they too might see in these various services all that the Lord would teach them. They gathered together and watched as Aaron presented for himself. They watched as Aaron presented for them. Aside from what was mentioned in the last section, we ought to consider as a use from this the great importance there is in assembling ourselves together to worship the Lord. This is not a spectator sport, brethren. We are to bring ourselves, we are to offer up our own selves as living sacrifices before the Lord, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. And the great need that there was there. Would it have been easy to have, you know, kind of like an Uber sacrifice service? Right? Oh, yeah, deliver that goat over to Aaron, and I got things to do. No, that's not what the Lord has called us unto. The Lord hasn't called us to sit in our home in our jammies to listen to sermons Lord's Day by Lord's Day. He's called us to come, to stand before him, to assemble together, to worship, to have a holy conference one with another as we all grow in the faith together. When we worship the Lord and participate in the various ordinances and sacraments, we must take hold upon them by faith. There, while you all might be sitting right now, and thankfully I know this about you, you're doing a work in your heart. You're contemplating the things that are being spoken of. You're considering and meditating upon the word. You're considering the uses that are here. And I know that those things will be taken with you as you go out with full skirts into the week. As you meditate upon those things, that is exactly what we're called to do here. And that is a great work. Okay. Now let's talk about the last two verses, 22, or three verses, 22 through 24. I want you to see here, and I am beholden to Andrew Benar. If you haven't been recommended to that commentary that he has on Leviticus, let me recommend it to you again. I want you to see here the gospel as it is preached unto the people of God on that day. And let me paint a picture for you. You have Aaron who offers for himself, offers for the people. What does he do after that? He comes down off the altar, gives his blessing upon the people. Aaron and Moses go into the tabernacle. Some commentators think that all these services were done in the morning sacrifice, and then they went in until the evening sacrifice, the close of the day. It's not in the text. Possibly a good inference, but we'll leave that there. But they go into the tabernacle. Do you think the service stopped there? Do you think they were just lounging around in the presence of the Lord? No, Aaron was busy, but it was out of sight. Couldn't see it. But then Aaron comes back out, and what does he do again? Blesses the people. And it was at the blessing of the people, the glory of the Lord appeared, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes all of the sacrifices that had been sitting on the altar the entire day. There was no fire on there for the morning sacrifices. It was just sitting there, waiting in anticipation for the Lord. Andrew Benar has an interesting meditation on this passage that I want to share with you, although I'll be doing injustice to it, so I encourage you to read it on your own. But doesn't this give us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work? Who upon his first advent came down and once and for all made a sacrifice for sin? The sacrifice is done and he leaves his people with a blessing. He gives them his spirit. He sends forth the comforter. But then where does he go? What does he do? He ascends up into heaven, sits down at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes for us behind the veil of heaven. We can't see it, but we know he's busy because we have much intercession that's needed. But the sacrifice is done. It's waiting. And what do we expect when he comes back? A blessing. The glory of the Lord to appear. And all of the work of Christ to be fully and finally vindicated before the throne of God as all of our sins which lay on the altar are fully and finally gone. And the people bow down and worship him for all eternity. Who said the gospel wasn't preached in Leviticus? The last thing, I know I'm way over, sorry. The last thing I want you to consider, could that have been represented to the people of God had they not followed all that the Lord had commanded? Would we expect the glory of the Lord to appear in a blessing to the people had they not worshipped according to the Lord's command? When the people saw the fireball, or whatever, however the fire appeared, coming down from heaven, would they have expected to consume the sacrifice or them had they not done everything that the Lord had commanded? We are not left to wonder, brethren. Sorry, I'm going to steal a little bit of Mr. Suarez's thunder. But in the very next paragraph, that same fire that came down from heaven in divine approbation consumed Nadab and Abihu for offering a different fire. The purity of the worship is prime importance in the church. We must guard it carefully in here and in what we do, because we approach a God who is described as a consuming fire. What is that fire going to consume for us? The sacrifice or us? May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word.